Fighting for America.
We've cut our deficit, by the way, by more than half since I came into office.
Another stern warning from the Congressional Budget Office. The money the government owes will be about three quarters of the size of the U.S. economy by the end of the year.
Fighting for Idaho.
We just want to find out what it is that's causing a customer that's been with us for a long time to leave.
Because that's what I want. That's what I want.
Okay, so why is that what you want?
Because that's what I want.
Fighting for you.
Your thoughts on the Gipper?
I could say it in four words. A good man, great president. He was a wonderful man to work for, and I was fortunate to have been there. It was one of the great moments of my life.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Okay, you take it easy, my friend.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, K. Miller with you. Coming up. When you hear this...
Oh, I bet you say that to all the girls that come on.
Oh, one more time, Emily Wither.
Oh, I bet you say that to all the girls that come on.
All right, you're going to win a family four-pack to the Boise Open. That will be coming up here between now and 8:20. Joining us now, our great friend Stephen Hunter, Sniper's Honor, a Bob Lee Swagger novel. He's back. We had so much fun with him the last time, we didn't even talk about his novel. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Kevin. Thank you so much for having me back.
We'd love to have you. You had so much information. Let's talk a little bit about your new bestseller, why it's different from some of your previous 19 works.
It's different from 18 of them. It's not different from the 19th, which was the first one. Actually, I think the number is not 19. Well, it's novels. I think I have 23 total published works. But I'm not sure. I don't know this stuff. That's what I have a secretary for, except that I don't have a secretary, which is why I'm always a mess. Anyway, the great pleasure in me, in this book for me was returning to World War II. World War II, was Lord of the Rings in real time, you know, in meat space. It was an incredible, tapestry of violence and heroism and evil and betrayal and sacrifice and commitment and love and honor and death. It was every human emotion magnified 10 times and maybe 20 times, maybe 50 times. And it was on a scale that we no longer can comprehend. I mean, we get all upset when we lose 2,000 men, and you know, we lost, and particularly the Russians lost 2,000 men an hour in World War II, and it was that vast a enterprise. And I, in this book, was attracted to go back to an obscure bunch of soldiers who were very effective, who fought really hard for their country, who were ill-used by their country, who were sacrificed for their country, and who never got the attention and the publicity and the love that they deserve. And I thought one of the ideas here was to give this figure a good showcase in Western popular culture. And that figure is the Soviet female sniper. The Soviets had, because they were so hard-pressed for bodies at a certain point in the war, they'd taken such enormous losses because Stalin was such an idiot that they ask women to become frontline snipers, and there are about 10,000 of them. They killed thousands and thousands of German soldiers. They took terrible casualties, and some of them racked up enormous scores. And it just turned out that it was, you know, this is not quite the same issue as women in combat, because they weren't integrated into male issues, which is a whole nother dynamic. But it turned out that as shooters, as stalkers, as the point of the point of the point of the spear in engagements from the Black Sea to the North Pole, the women were every bit as good and every bit as brave and every bit as accurate as the men. And it was, in a general sense, a great pleasure for me to pay attention and to create a sort of composite mythical Russian female sniper from 1944.
And yet these women existed, and, you know, pardon me for, you know, going into my Neanderthal past, I never heard about any female Russian snipers.
It's so strange that it never got the attention that I believe it deserved. And I hear this all the time, and people are astounded. It just goes to show that history is what historians decide it is. That is, it's not reality. And I suppose because the scale was so much smaller than some of the engagements on the Eastern Front, that they never attracted the attention. In fact, the Soviets integrated women. They didn't integrate, but they had several different dimensions of female combat units. There was a night fighter unit that was scored significant victories against the Germans in aerial combat, and they were called the Night Witches. And the Germans, I don't know, again, they had this certain gifts. Again, I don't know if it's gender specific, but they seemed to have very good night vision. They had, it's the same thing that makes a sniper, I think, makes a fighter pilot. Superb vision to begin with, superb hand-eye coordination, but also a patient heart and a willingness to let things develop. And also a particular capacity to pay great attention to detail and a capacity to understand sort of the mechanics and the conceptual things beneath the actual battle skills. And so in those two kinds of engagements, women were enormously successful. And if you haven't heard of it, it's because certain people charged with recording the past didn't do a good job.
Stephen Hunter with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning, talking about his new book, Sniper's Honor, on 580 KIDO. What about the, and you write about guns and bullets and everything else, but what about the insides of men and women? And I'm going to apologize for my sexism here, but again, the psychological makeup of a sniper back then, I'm thinking, okay, I get Rosie the Riveter, Sally the Sniper, I don't get.
The only thing I can say is we don't comprehend how total a war that was in the East. And we're able to comprehend Rosie the Riveter because we see her in terms that we understand. And because our nation was not invaded, our cities were not leveled, our vulnerable populations were not rounded up and executed, and a policy of atrocity was not in place against us. All that happened on the Russian front as per German standard operating procedure. And because, again, this monster Stalin was an idiot, he was completely unprepared. He fell back and fell back and fell back and lost hundreds of thousands of men. And by the middle of 1942 was in desperate straits and had lost millions of men. And he understood that the war was a total battle of two civilizations. And every last stop had to be pulled out. And we, you know, in the West, we protect women from the responsibility of sanctioned killing, you know, so we don't have women snipers. And that's a luxury of a society that's much more stable and under much less pressure. When, your very survival as a nation and as a culture and as a belief system is in dire jeopardy, all those polite rules go out the door, and you become willing to use any resource at your command. And it occurred to someone in the Soviet military that women had the skills. I mean, women were integrated into the army as radio operators, as medics. It was probably one of the most female armies in the world. But they also, it was felt, would work out well as snipers for a number of reasons. You know, the same thing. Shooting is kind of gender neutral. It has to do with how willing you are to do your homework and master the fundamentals. The second thing is sniping demands extremely clever stalking skills and great patience. Women, I'm generalizing here, but they tend, I think most people would agree, to be more patient than men. Another thing, let me just say this. In my life, five things have tried to kill me. They were all animals, and they were all mothers, and this all took place in Africa. And if you the rage of the mother protecting her cubs is one of the most malleable forces in nature. If you find yourself stupidly, as I did several times, between a mother and her cubs, she ceases to be a mother and becomes a total committed warrior. And I think that same mechanism, which I believe is rooted in biology, came into play in World War II. In a specific and exact reality that their children were in danger, but in the larger and more general reality that the nation's children were in danger. And as mothers or mothers-to-be or as potential mothers, they felt that incredibly powerful surge of the need to protect the den. And that's probably what drove them to some extraordinary accomplishments, and there's several had over 300 kills. They were very, very lethal and efficient at their job.
Based on your research for this project, though, what psychologically must people have to be effective snipers?
Well, again, you have to take. I think like any highly skilled behavior, you have to begin with the fundamentals. You have to master. Some people have talent and some people don't. Probably the more talented shooters became the better snipers, but regardless, one had to pay one's dues. And somehow I think in mastering the techniques of shooting, somehow you can make it more technical than psychological. You know, you're not killing a man. You can convince yourself you're reading the wind, concentrating on your hold, trying to figure out, get the best target resolution, waiting for the target to be still, trying to put yourself into the most solid position, having already laid out a route of escape, and, of course, in all of that, you have to worry about your breath control and the coordination between the nuance of the trigger pull and the nuance of the hold as you stay on the target. And so you can put all of that between yourself and the actual psychological fact that you are committing what in civilian capacity would be considered an act of murder. But you're able to suspend your sort of quotidian, killing is what war is about, and one of the things that the military is very good at is getting young men, and in this case young women, to make that breakthrough and to understand that in the killing was not to be fetishized, not to be enjoyed, but was nevertheless extremely an extreme requirement, in that it was a sacrifice that our soldiers made for the folks back home, and, you know, every soldier makes for the folks back home, that he becomes the executioner, and he takes on the psychological weight of that. He takes on any guilt feelings. He understands that in some way, after having killed, and if he's had to kill a lot, he will be forever different, and he may find himself exiled. He may find himself shunned. He may exile himself. But that's just one of the sacrifices he makes to do a job that's very important. It's been my pleasure to try and document the effort, to not take it for granted, but to try and document the kind of precision and the kind of psychological intensity that it takes not only to commit the act, but then to recover from it. And one of the great pleasures of the Bob Lee Swaggart books is I begin with him way back in 1993 as an exile, a drunken exile, and a trailer living in the woods. And what I have tracked over the subsequent 9 books is his return to civilization, his re-engagement in society, his ability to, I mean, he's learned how to relate to other people. He's fallen in love with a woman. He now has children, a family, a business. He's been rescued from the exile that he imposed on himself and was imposed on him after Vietnam as a sniper to become a really extraordinarily giving and contributing member of society. And it's been, you know, it's been, that's been the great thrill of writing these books for me.
Stephen Hunter, more coming up with you next. Please stand by. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
On Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Congratulations to Brian and Boise. He won the tickets to the Albertsons Boise Open. By the way, keep it here. Coming up between now and 8:35 when you hear... Caller 10, you're going to win tickets to the Snake River Stampede. A family four-pack can be yours just by being caller 10 at 580-5436. With us once again, best-selling author Stephen Hunter, Sniper's Honor. And Stephen, let's talk a little bit about the idea of fiction writing. We all love fiction, whether it's you or others. How do you actually come up with an alternate personality so compelling that we're so drawn to it that they develop a life of their own and then keep your sanity yourself?
It is, it's one of the miracles of the business, and I can't really break it into segments and say, I do this, I do this, then I do this other thing, and finally I do this last thing. The only way I can describe it is that it's a process, and this is so trite, I'm disappointed in myself that I haven't come up with anything better, but it's a becoming. What you end up doing is breaking down the barriers between yourself and the material in the book and the characters in the book, and kind of encouraging them to take over. And when I'm deep into a book, it's not uncommon for me just to sort of trance out in all kinds of, you know, ridiculous places. It gets me tickets. I hope I don't kill anybody in a car accident. It hasn't happened yet, but maybe that's how I'll check out. I don't know. But these ideas, you know, it's just that I've sort of given my total subconscious over to the prospect of the book, and the subconscious, it's working continually, and when it has a discovery, it sort of takes over my conscious and it puts me there. And I, you know, I'll be sitting in the strangest places. I was a movie critic for a number of years and remember sitting in a movie in a theater on a professional engagement, and suddenly the solution to a book problem occurred to me, and I had, you know, 30 minutes of reverie as I worked out how it would happen. This, that, and the other thing. And then suddenly I realized I totally lost contact with the movie. And I had no idea what the movie was about. I hope I had the courage to see it again before I wrote a piece about it. I was under so much pressure, I admit I probably didn't. But it's just another cliche. I so wish I could do better for you. It's like a Vulcan mind meld. You know, it's just, you just sort of enter a world. Your subconscious lets you enter a world. And sometimes I feel like I'm merely a recording secretary. I'm not writing at all. I'm just getting the stuff down as it comes to me from I don't know where. And I guess the I don't know where really is my subconscious, but it's a very strange process. But on the other hand, if you do it long enough, you get so that you can get into that. You need a certain intensity of concentration. And I think where novelists burn out and where they suddenly lose their audience and their gift is that they can no longer summon the level of concentration it takes. I think it's true of athletes too, but that level of concentration you need, you can't get up there anymore. And the lesser concentration just doesn't get it done. And one of the things I believe I've gotten good at, or at least professional at over the years, is I can get into that concentration. I can get into it pretty easily. And I can't stay there long. I'm not a guy for 8 or 12 hour days. But I can get there, I can do, you know, the work of the day, and then I get out real quick. And it's just psychologically, it's a very curious sort of sense of travel, or of being occupied, or of a different presence in your mind. And I suppose it's a gift. I don't know if it's a gift or a curse, but that's just the way it seems to work. And you sort of develop strategies to get the best out of it, and train it to be reliable. And I know I'm sounding sort of incoherent here, and the radios all over Boise here are, you know, going off. I'm sorry for that.
Yeah, gee, thanks for that, Stephen, by the way. I appreciate it.
Okay. I can't get any more specific than that, because it doesn't feel any more specific than that to me.
Finally, you get to ask this all the time, but, everybody wants to be a rock star or a writer. Your advice to aspiring Stephen Hunters of the world?
Work. There's three things that make a career. Talent, maybe you've got it, maybe you don't. Luck, maybe you'll get it, maybe you won't. There are things that can be done to improve the odds. Anyone can find them out by doing some research on the internet. But you've got to do the work, because everybody you're competing with is beating that animal down, and they are doing the work. I can't tell you how many times at book signings I hear from people who say, you know, I've got a great idea for a book, but Mary won't let me alone on the weekends, because I've always got all these chores to do, and I just can't seem to get started. And I smile, and I'm always sympathetic and polite, as raised in the Midwest, and I wish them luck, and, you know. But I know that they're losers, and that they'll never get that book done, because at a certain point, you have to be sort of selfish, and you have to say to Mary, honey, I'm not going to run the junk to the dump today. Goodbye, and go in the bedroom and close the door and do the work. You have to do the work every day. And when you finally get a break, my big break was that when an editor said to me, you know, do you have anything to show me? You sound like a writer. Do you have anything to show me? Damn it, yes, I did have something to show her. And my whole career is based on the fact that I had something to show her. I'd already written the book. I had the manuscript. I'd finished it. And, I didn't describe, I didn't have dreams, I didn't have hopes, I didn't have a plot, I didn't have a synopsis. I had a book. And she was able to look at that book and see that I was of professional caliber. And the only way you're ever going to find out if you're of professional caliber is if you write the damn book. Stop talking about it. Stop dreaming about it. Write the damn book.
Until we meet again, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Kevin. You were great.
Take care, Stephen. It's our great friend. Sorry about that. Great guy, though. Write the damn book. .83576 in Meridian. You're listening to Kevin Miller. Write the damn book on 580 KIDO.
Miller.
Joining us now, Dennis Michael Lynch, documentary filmmaker.
How are you?
We're joined by Nicole Cassidy.
Oh, gosh. Thank you for having me. Every
morning. Join the conversation with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Unnamed mystery guest has been here since about 6 o'clock. Very exciting for all of us. Let's get back to the phones. We're joined by our A young man that is doing something good for the community, a great cause. Troy Cooper is with us. Troy, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us here. You're with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Let's talk a little bit about an event that you're having this weekend.
Yeah, so we're doing a concert out in Star this weekend on Saturday at 5:30. It's called Fight Like a Champ. It's to raise money for the family of a young man, Anthony Moretti, who a lot of us have seen on the news and stuff. He was a Channel 7's hero not too long ago, and he was 12 years old, and he recently passed away from cancer. He had two brain tumors that he tried to beat, but ultimately wasn't able to, and so we're having a concert to kind of honor his memory and celebrate his life and have some fun and hopefully raise some money for his family at the same time.
How did you become involved in this, and if you could tell us just the amount of work and effort that's going into this effort in Star?
Sure. I was his older sister's soccer coach, and she was a member of our team, an under-14 girls competitive soccer team, and so over the course of the last couple of years, I've got to know her family and just thought the world of them as a family. They're a really great family. And in September last year, she came to practice one day and was kind of upset, and I asked her what was wrong, and she said her brother was sick. And I didn't really know what was going on at that time, and they ended up, you know, they checked him to the hospital right away, and he battled from September until June, and so it was a really fast acting, you know, once they kind of found out what was going on, it was pretty quick acting, and I just wanted to do something to help out the family, and I thought, you know, they love music. Anthony was learning to play the guitar at Starlight Music Studio. They were teaching him to play the guitar, and he loved to fish, and I loved to fish, and I just thought this is a young man that, you know, I could see as being my own kid, and what can I do to help the family? And I thought, let's throw a concert. Let's have some fun and forget about it for a couple of hours and just have a good time.
How's the family doing?
You know, I think they're doing really well. I actually went fishing with his father, Matt, on Thursday before the 4th of July, and I don't think I could have been doing nearly as well as he was. I think having a strong faith and a knowledge of what's to come, they're doing remarkably well. It was very inspiring to me to see how well they're handling it.
Now, tell us a little bit about the concert. Where is it at in Star?
Sure. It's at Blake Haven Park in Star, right across the elementary school. So if you're coming off State Street, you would turn on to Star.
That's Kevin Miller's neighborhood, actually.
Yeah. We're doing it right there. And the reason we chose that location was we wanted to be close to where the family lives, and they're from Middleton. And so we wanted it to feel like a community coming together to help somebody else in the community. And the whole idea of the concert is, you know, bring your lawn chairs and your blankets and just relax, listen to some great music. We have a couple local artists. One is a band named Koba, and they're from the Fresco Arts Fresco Art School. And they're a real talented group. They're kind of almost like a blues, but kind of they're really, really a great band. And then another artist we have, his name is Mossy. And he just moved to Nampa from Southern California, where he was actually the head songwriter and a character on the kids show on Nickelodeon called Yo Gabba Gabba. And he's written songs for The Roots and Erykah Badu, and he's done some really neat things, and he's really talented, kind of sounds like a Jack Johnson. And then our headliner is a guy named Kalai, who in 2007 was on Jimmy Kimmel Live playing his song. He had a song on MTV for a while, and he's got a pretty good little following, and he's a really talented musician. He's kind of like a modern-day James Taylor, really a neat style. And like I said, so all the artists we have are very kind of relaxed sound. You can just sit back and listen to it and enjoy it and just have a good time. We've had concessions donated from Meridian United Soccer Club, which is who Elizabeth is now playing for, and they're donating all the proceeds from concessions. We're going to have snow cones out there. We're going to have some auction and raffle items. We've had some very generous donations, so there'll be some pretty cool stuff that we'll be able to, you know, sell off and make some more money that way. And then at the end of it, we're going to do a tribute to Anthony, and we're going to let some of those lighted lanterns off, and it should be a real neat time.
And I'll tell you, for people that are not familiar with it, very easy to get there. You go Star Road till you see the school, and you take a left. If you're coming from Meridian or Boise or Nampa, for that matter, and if you're coming from Floating Feather, you take a ride at the school. Troy, let's talk a little bit about what this has done for you as a person and for people that have known Anthony or people that have lost someone so young and so precious, so vibrant in life.
You know, for me, it's been amazing for me to see what a great community we're a part of. Strangers coming out and saying, what can I do? How can I help? Sponsors being generous. I've had, you know, several sponsors from Scott Sumlin, who's a financial planner, to Legacy Wealth Group, Scotty's Potties Plumbing, and then Costa Vida Restaurant, all kind of stepping in and saying, what can we do to help? How can we make this thing a reality? Just being totally selfless and willing to give. And it's been something that's really been great for me as a person, and it's kind of helped me want to be a better person at the same time. And like I said, the reason that I saw this was I saw myself. You know, I have five children, and I couldn't stand the thought of having to see one of my kids go through something like Anthony went through, and to do it with the grace and with the dignity that he did. It was really amazing to see. You know, you can tell sometimes by people's kids what kind of family they have, and I just was really impressed with what I saw from this family, and so little things like that have been really rewarding for me, which is not why I'm doing this. I'm not doing this to feel rewarded in any way, but I'm getting that at the same time as a byproduct of kind of doing this.
Well, if people want more information, what can they do, Troy?
Well, we have a Facebook page, Fight Like a Champ concert, or that's the event page, and then there's also another one, Fight Like a Champ Anthony Moretti concert. So you can go on Facebook. We have a website that was donated by Moonwolf Media, fightlikeachamp.org. Those are good ways. You can email me, info@fightlikeachamp. And you can go into Costa Vida and buy your tickets. And Costa Vida has been gracious enough to do a little promotion. So anybody that goes in there to buy their tickets from them at either their Boise location on 8th and Main or their Eagle Road location or their nude location out in Nampa.
I think we've got their locations covered, Troy.
Perfect. Okay, great. I wasn't sure. And then, so you can go in there and get your tickets, and also they're giving a free chips and salsa as a thank you for coming in there to get your tickets. So,
all right, nice of them. Troy, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Thank you much. Thanks for having me on.
All right, there you have it. Make sure we got Costa Rica in there. All right, you're listening to 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO. So a lot of people have wondered whatever happened to the unnamed mystery guest who left us for a while. Now you're back.
I'm back. I've always been back, Kevin. I've always listened 24/7. I just like to take a breath now and then. And
Like to go on sabbatical.
You can't beat the Miller Show. I mean, come on. From snipers to floating the river to help out cancer to concert and star. I mean, the people you have on here is amazing. People better get on the ticket. You know.
And
what
now
I mean?
You.
And now me what?
And now you're on the air.
Well, you're lucky
It doesn't really look good for your friend Obama now, does it?
Well, let's put it this way.
I mean, it's really over for him.
What do you mean, over
his
for
presidency
him?
Is done.
Boner or Bonner, is that his name?
Boehner.
The chain-smoking head of the whatever down there in Washington, D.C.? Come on. I got a private detective watching him 24/7. His stink is coming out pretty soon.
Is that what you have? We've waited 27 months to hear that.
27 months. Yeah, divided by 4. Come on, Kevin. It is what it is. Nobody's going to sue the best president that ever walked the earth.
You can't even defend him anymore.
That
folks,
ever walked the earth?
Folks, do you hear this? Liberal Steve cannot even defend his man Obama.
Oh.
It's gotten to that level.
Yeah, first they were after Obama. You got to get into Ukraine. You got to kill them Russians. Now you got to get that stuff out of Syria. You got to get over there and help Israel and the Gaza Strip. To go to South Africa. It's constant. Now they want to sue him. When are they going to pass some job opportunities for this country?
I've got the perfect soulmate for you.
Oh, who's that?
Harley Brown.
Harley Brown. Harley, if you're listening out there, Harley, I wish you would have made
No, he's not listening. It's time for traffic.
Go
good,
to traffic.
Good morning, Dave.
Lakers.
And once again, great to be back with you. We'll be here tomorrow. Good day. God bless. Thank you all for listening. Keep the faith. Serving Emmett.